Australia has a rapidly ageing population, and the number of people over the age of 65 is projected to more than double by 2057. But already, we've got more than 170,000 older people living in nursing homes around the country, and the aged care sector is already under pressure. Now, experts in geriatric care are calling for better mental health support for patients in our nursing homes. This comes as a new study finds that 140 Australian nursing home residents took their own lives between the years 2000 and 2013. The majority of those were men. Isolation and loneliness are seen as the main drivers of that rising suicide rate. Joseph Ibrahim is professor in the Health Law and Ageing Research Unit at Monash University. His team has conducted this research. Joseph Ibrahim, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Hi, Fran. Thank you for having me.
We know that suicide is a major problem in Australia, and we know that the two age groups with the highest rates are young men under the age of 30, I think it is, and older men over the age of 60-65. So were you surprised at this finding, to find that this suicide rate is occurring in nursing homes, and is it particularly high when you look at it as a proportion of population?
So we weren't surprised that suicides were more likely to occur with older men. What we were surprised by was the number that was occurring in supervised environment. And by that I mean I wouldn't have expected suicides to be occurring in residential aged care. It would be the same as suicides occurring in schools or hospitals, yep, where you've got supervision. So my question is, why would they be occurring? The pattern, or the people most likely to be affected, are males with a history of depression who have often just arrived in the last 6 to 9 months into the facility.
Okay, so what that tells you, that is that a key finding that happens within 6 to 9 months? What did you put these suicides down to?
So what we know is this group of people had a past history of either a suicide attempt previously, they have depression, they have difficulty adjusting to the change, which all of us would, that moving to a residential aged care is a significant life event where you're leaving your family, you're leaving your home, and we know these indices affect people in the community.
These are high stress changes in one's life, no doubt about it.
And what surprised us is we know that it's not a surprise, so why aren't we better able to manage the depression that occurs in residential aged care? And how is it possible that someone can suicide while they're meant to be in a supervised environment?
You asked those questions. Did you find any answers to that, or from your own experience in this sector, looking at this sector, do you have answers to that?
So we have part of the answers related to there's a lack of access to mental health services for this group of people. The screening tests that are available, we're not confident that being consistently done. And if they are being done, they're not being actioned. People aren't speaking up for the resident. They're making assumptions that older people in residential care ought to be depressed because life is tough and you can't do anything about it, which is a fallacy.
Yeah.
You can do that. I think the other...
Can I just interrupt you there, if you wouldn't mind, Joseph? Did you say this assumption that people are going to be depressed because that's just what happens, therefore you don't worry about that? I mean, that assumption is born out of reality. The figure, if this is correct, I can't quite believe this statistic, but that 50% of residents in nursing home suffer from depression compared to just 10 to 15% of adults of the same age living in the community. Is that an accurate statistic?
Well, there's a far higher prevalence of depression in persons in residential aged care for the reasons that we've discussed.
Yeah.
The important thing to remember is depression is treatable. It's not it's a diagnosis that can be managed, that you can, with psychology, psychiatry, medication, better social engagement. Depression is not a permanent fixture that you can't do anything about. So the question is, why isn't it being better managed? In the same way that people, you're more likely to have diabetes or osteoarthritis in particular settings, but we don't say you can't do anything about it. Tough luck.
No, that's right, of course. And, you know, people with experience of older relatives going into nursing homes would know that depression is occurs, as you say, frequently occurs soon after they're coming in, but it can be treated, and it often is treated, is my experience of that. So it can be treated. So what is the issue? What's missing in your view? When you say we need lack of access, we need more access to mental health services, do you mean specific mental health services for the aged, or specific aged care homes that are, in a sense, mental health facilities? What do you mean?
Well, I think it's all of that. That there's little research at the moment to tell us what degree of involvement psychologists have with older people in residential aged care, the access and use of a specialist psychiatrist into both general and specialised facilities. We know from past research that depression is undertreated. Again, what is the role of general practitioners in that? We don't have good metrics around that to know what the level of under-treatment and under-recognition is currently. We know historically probably a quarter of people weren't recognised, and at least a quarter of those that were recognised were not being treated to the full extent.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 25 past eight. Our guest is Joseph Ibrahim, an expert in geriatric care and a professor of health, law and ageing research unit at Monash University. There were some interesting findings within your study. I don't know if they mean anything. Perhaps you can help us. You found that suicides are twice as likely to occur on a Monday compared to a Sunday, to occur more frequently in summer than other seasons, and are three times more likely to occur in a holiday period. Does some of that go back to this notion of loneliness being the contributor?
Well, I think there were two things that we wanted to explore. One, whether it's loneliness, and two, whether there's a particular time of the week or year, partly looking at staffing levels, because there's no other metric that we could use based on the data. So one of the questions is that to suicide, you need an opportunity where staff are not available. And so that was the question about, is it the time of day or the day of the week that influences? We were expecting winter would be the peak time because of the people tend to be a bit more down in that. The other peak periods really are Christmas, and the family times we expect engagement is a high stress period. And we were wondering whether the same patterns existed.
Yeah.
The data isn't, we don't have sufficient data to draw a significant conclusion on that.
Okay. So sufficient data is one thing. What about sufficient funding? You've been researching preventable deaths in aged care facilities for a lot of years now, but your funding was cut last year, I understand, effectively closing down this research into deaths in nursing homes that end up in coroner's courts. Can you continue work without this funding? Are you hopeful of getting funding again from somewhere?
So our funding finished. It wasn't cut, but we've not had any funding for the work we've been doing now since June of last year. We anticipated we'd need more funding and had approached the department over a year ago. I'm not confident that we are going to get more funding. I've spoken to the department and to the minister about the situation. I don't understand why we can't get a small amount of funding, given there's $10 billion spent every year in aged care, and we're asking for less than, I think, 0.001% of that. In that, to keep us going, we'd need about $100,000 a year.
Okay. Joseph Ibrahim, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Joseph Ibrahim, an expert in geriatric care, professor in the Health, Law and Ageing Research Unit at Monash University. And if you or someone you know is experiencing depression or other mental health issues, you can contact Lifeline on 131114, 131114, or Beyond Blue on 1300 224636. We'll put all those numbers on our website.